Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Isn't the New England Aquarium great? It's so much fun to see a whole other world, especially the world underwater. I love to come visit all the fish and marine life that live here. You know they have exhibits here with dogfish, catfish, cowfish, and hogfish? Yeah. This is the giant ocean tank. The largest tank of its kind in the world. And you can see barracudas, sea turtles, triggerfish, even sharks. There are so many different kinds of fish in the world, it makes my head swim. These are giant groupers. And you know, when I'm sitting here watching, I can't help but wonder what it would be like to be a fish. Do you think it's all wet and slippery when you live underwater? Do fish scales feel rough and prickly from the inside? How do fish sleep without eyelids? Think they mind having sand in their beds? Is flapping a fin like waving a hand? I don't know. But you know, I just read a very interesting book about a person who loved fish so much that that was all he could think about. It's called Lewis the Fish, and some very mysterious things happen in it. You know, if I didn't know better, I'd say these fish were talking to each other.
Boy, this guy can't take his eyes off us.
I wonder why human beings are always staring in here. They must be admiring us.
Oh, stop fishing for compliments.
I wonder what it's like to be human.
On a scale of 1 to 10? Hey, what's this guy reading?
Ooh, I know that book. It's called Lewis the Fish. I saw it at the public library.
What were you doing at the library? Looking for bookworms?
No, really. It's a good book. It's got some great lines.
I'm hooked already.
Lewis the Fish. Story by Arthur Eurynks. Pictures by Richard Igelski. One day last spring, Lewis, a butcher, turned into a fish. Silvery scales, big lips, a tail, a salmon. Lewis did not lead before this an unusual life. His grandfather was a butcher. His father was a butcher. So Lewis was a butcher. He had a small shop on Flatbush. Steady customers, good meat. He was always friendly, always helpful, a wonderful guy. But Lewis was not a happy man. He hated meat. On birthdays, his beaming parents would hand him a gift-wrapped salam. When he was 13, they gave him a turkey. Lewis did anything to get away from meat. He got a job afternoons, cleaning fish tanks in a doctor's office.
Oh, Lewis loved the job. For hours, he'd stare at the fish, their eyes blinking, their fins flapping.
But a good thing doesn't last long. One night at dinner, Lewis's mother said to his father, "Nat, why does Lewis have to slave over those lousy fish? What's the matter? You can't give him a little job in the store?" "But Ma, I like..." "You're right, Rose. Tomorrow, Lewis, after school, you come to the store. It's time you learn something about meat." And that was it. Every day, Lewis was at his father's shop. "Someday, this will all be yours," his father would say. And it was. His parents died suddenly, and Lewis took over the butcher shop. For years, that's where he worked. Lewis was so unhappy. His only happy times were when he was in the refrigerator. There, he'd sit for hours and draw fish. Big ones, little ones. He'd draw them all over the place. Surrounded by steaks, all Lewis thought about was fish. But then, it got worse. He began to see fish everywhere, at home, on the bus, at ball games. Even his customers began to look like fish to him. Business started to fail. His health declined. He was always thirsty. At night, Lewis had trouble sleeping. One night in May, he had bad dreams. He dreamt he was walking down the street and he was attacked. Hamburgers were punching him. Salamis kicked him. Lamb chops, roast beefs, and briskets all ganged up on him. He yelled for help! But no one came. That morning, Lewis woke up feeling cold and wet. He was a fish. A salmon. Al, from Al's pet store, found him on the bus going up Flatbush. "Look at that face," he tells his customers. "I couldn't eat him, so I brought him to the store." Lewis soon forgot everything about being a butcher, living on Flatbush, or even being a human being at all. After a hard life, Lewis was a happy fish.
What a beautiful fish tale.
Why, thank you.
Not your fish tale. The tale of Lewis the fish. The story.
That Lewis sure was lucky. He didn't have to flounder through life as a human.
It must be every human's dream.
Yeah, I catch your drift. To go to sleep a person.
And wake up a salmon.
That's the best fish story I've heard in years.
I know Lewis was happy to turn into a fish for the rest of his life. I'd kind of like to see the world from a fish's point of view, too. But not if it meant having to spend every day in a school. Besides, after living for a few days as a fish, I'd probably like to turn into something else for a little while. Like a giraffe with a neck so long I could see way above the treetops. Or maybe even an eagle. They're so majestic, and I've always wanted to fly. If you could be anything in the world, anything, what would you choose?
I'd like to be an alligator because it has sharp teeth, it can swim well, and it is green.
I would choose to be a snake.
A duck.
A lion.
A hummingbird.
I would like to be a horse.
I would like to be a camel because it has two humps and a camel is my favorite kind of animal.
A leopard.
A giraffe.
A rabbit.
A monkey because they swing around on vines and I like to swing around on vines.
I would be a shark because
I like the water.
I can really see why you would want to be a fish like me. Living in the ocean is like a fantasy. It's so easy living way down below. The sea will take you anywhere you want to go.
All around you can feel the ocean flow. The motion will astound you.
Come on down.
There's so much to see.
Look around.
Just floating free.
I have found.
It's the best way to be. Just take it from me.
Sea living. Try it out for a week or two. And you will surely see. A barracuda or an angelfish was what you were meant to be. Be a shark and everyone gets out of your way. Be an eel and lie on the bottom all day.
Be a lobster, glimmer like a butterfly fish. Live in a shell if that's what you wish.
Be a whale.
Be a seahorse too.
Be a snail.
Be a bright shade of blue.
Lewis were swimming around in the ocean instead of a fish tank in Al's pet store, he'd come face to face with a lot of creatures. And not all of them would be fish. There's a variety of animals that live in the water. Some, like whales, sea lions, and dolphins, are mammals, just like you and me. Mammals can't breathe underwater like fish can. They have to come up for air. And sea mammals can do some things that fish never dreamed of. Did you know that whales can sing, and dolphins whistle, squeak, and chirp to communicate? Sea mammals are warm-blooded animals. They take care of each other, and mothers nurse their young. I guess you could say that they're not cold fish. When a dolphin smiles your way, you can hardly keep from hugging her.
Come on, Dixie, give me a hug. They love to do whatever you see them doing. Dolphins are pretty happy animals. In fact, most everybody will tell you that a dolphin has a built-in smile, and that's exactly right. They're very independent thinkers a good deal of the time. They're very peaceful animals. They like to spend a lot of time just playing and eating. Pretty ideal life. I wouldn't mind doing that myself. Hello, my name's Dennis Markham. This is my place, the Aqua Circus of Cape Cod, down here in West Yarmouth in Massachusetts. And these are my dolphins, Dixie and Dolly. You know, dolphins are very interesting animals. There's a lot we know about them and a lot we don't. Well, if we look at them, we can see that they do have the shape of a fish, but unlike fish, dolphins are mammals and they breathe air just like you and I do. They can hold their breath underwater for about 6 or 8 minutes, but if they stay down any longer than that, they can drown just like we can too. Well, here's Dixie again, and you can see he has a long nose. This is the Atlantic bottlenose dolphin. You can see why. It looks just like a bottle. The nose is very, very hard. It's solid bone. And its prime function is for defense. Now, sometimes hungry sharks go looking for little dolphins to eat. And what probably would happen, because dolphins travel in groups or pods, is some of the big adults are going to form a circle around the youngsters, just like wagon trains did in the old days to protect themselves from any danger, but they form a protective circle, and some of the bigger adults will swim outside the circle and probably attack that shark using their nose. They use it as a battering ram. It's very effective. They can aim right for the gill cage and kill the shark. And he has very sharp teeth, 96 of them. They're pointed, and the dolphins use those teeth to hold fish. They don't chew their food. They swallow it whole. Now, let's see if we can get a Dixie to come over here. Did you hear that sound? Those are the dolphins breathing through a hole in the top of their head that we call a blowhole. Now, they don't breathe through their mouth. That goes right to their stomach so they can eat underwater. But when they dive underwater, then if we look, we can see it's closed up real tight so no water gets down there. Maybe if I give them a piece of herring here, we could get Dixie to stand up a little bit and we can see a little bit more of his body. Those two flippers, oh, Dixie's talking now. Those two flippers on the side of his body are the pectoral flippers. And the dolphins use them to kind of steer themselves through the water. Now, on the middle of the back is another flipper or a fin. It's called the dorsal. And if we can get another look way in the back there, there goes Dolly swimming away. You can see a big, broad tail fluke. This is the locomotion for the dolphin. They move that tail up and down in the water, and they really move along pretty fast. They can swim about 35, maybe 40 miles an hour in the open ocean. Now, dolphins have pretty good eyesight. They see real well when the water's nice and clear, but sometimes they're in murky water, or perhaps it's dark, there's no moon, and they might be on a hunt looking for fish. So they have an ability to see without eyes. It's a kind of a sonar, which is how submarines in the ocean detect other ships or other submarines. What the dolphins do is send a clicking sound out. It bounces off the school of fish and it comes back to the dolphin, and they receive it on this round part of their forehead. Can you come up here a minute, Dolly, and I'll let everybody see your forehead? Come on right up here. There it is. This part of the forehead we call the melon, and that's where the sounds are received. And the brain translates that information so they can tell if it's a school of fish, a hungry shark, which they probably wouldn't go after, or a ship, or a swimmer, or anything. Now, the skin on the dolphin is pretty special, too. I don't know if you can see. There we go. It's nice and smooth. You know what it feels like? It's a wet inner tube. You know, when you go to the beach, you bring that old tire tube, and that's real smooth, and it moves through the water pretty smoothly, too. Well, that's exactly why a dolphin's skin is very smooth, so they can move through the water. See, Dixie? He's spitting at me. Dolphins think and act like 5 or 6 year old children. Dixie's playing a little game with me. He doesn't want me to pay attention to you. He wants me to pay attention to him, so he's spitting at me. But that's fun. I don't mind too much. Sometimes if I don't pay enough attention, he'll start to show off. You know how your little brother and sister do that once in a while at home? Well, dolphins do that all the time. There we go. Making a sound there for us today, Dixie. He's talking to me. He's saying, hey, this isn't too bad. I'm having some fun. I'm getting a lot of free food here, and I don't have to do any work for it. That sound comes out of the blowhole. Remember that hole that they breathe through? Well, they force air through there. That's where all those sounds come from. They don't talk to each other like that. They have another type of language that we don't know a whole lot about. That's because it's a system of squeaks and whistles. A lot of the sounds are so high-pitched that we can't hear them with the ear. We can't hear them with very complicated machinery. We know the dolphins have some type of language. We've seen them work together. We've seen dolphins hunt as a group, where one dolphin will give another dolphin a signal to move in on a group of fish. We know they can talk to each other. We just don't know exactly how it occurs. It's very, very sophisticated, though, very complex. Well, I hope you've seen that working with dolphins can be a lot of fun. I don't see how it could be otherwise. It's also a very wet job to have, as you can also see, I think. But I really enjoy this, and I don't know anybody who isn't infatuated by dolphins. I hope you've learned a little bit about dolphins today, and the next time you see one, maybe you'll think of Dixie and Dolly. I've enjoyed talking to you very much. Goodbye for now.
Dolphins are lovable, aren't they? But you wouldn't want to hug this guy. This is a sea urchin. And you see these spines here? Feels like a pincushion. Ooh, here's an interesting guy from the sea. This is a horseshoe crab. He's got blue blood, and he's about as old as the dinosaurs. He uses this little tail here to turn him over when he's upside down underwater. Pretty neat, huh? You know, sea stars don't have any ears, fingers, or toes, but they do have arms. 5 of them, and hundreds of tiny little feelers. They call them tube feet. They tell him everything he needs to know. He can grab onto things with him. That's how he moves around. Ah, this is one of my favorite creatures from the sea. It's called a moon snail. Look at those colors. Knock, knock, knock. Anybody home? I know this guy's home. Snails never leave their shells. Pretty small world, isn't it? But yours doesn't have to be. Watch this. Mealtime is always a favorite occasion here at the aquarium. The penguins always wear their tuxedos to dinner. Still hungry, guys? Still hungry? These guys are always hungry. They eat 5 to 6 pounds of squid a day and weigh up to 500 pounds each. You still hungry for more good books? Well, here's some I know you'll just gobble up. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Do you like monsters? Well, I do. I even have a couple of them. They're my brothers. My name's Erica Ernest. I read Where the Wild Things Are. It's fabulous. And it's about a boy named Max, and he dressed up in his wolf suit. He was making mischief all over. And his mother sent him to bed without any supper. The best part of the book was when the wild things made Max king. In the rumpus, they danced, they howled, and they screamed, and they had fun in everything.
I'm Erica Ernst, and I'm telling you that if you don't read this book, boy, you're missing a lot of fun, and you're missing almost everything.
Hello. Have you ever been inside in a rainy day and have had nothing to do? Well, I have. This book I read called One Monday Morning, a little boy was inside on a rainy day and was staring out the window. He was very bored, so he decided to play with a deck of playing cards. When he was looking at the cards, he decided to imagine that the king, the queen, and the little prince wanted to come and visit him. This book is an excellent example of using your imagination, and I highly recommend it to you if you are home alone on a rainy day. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Laura Russell. If you like fishes and you've ever considered becoming an ichthyologist, a person who studies fishes for a living, then this is the book for you. It's called A Fish Hatches by Joanna Cole and Jerome Wexler. This book has 39 pages filled with black and white photographs and all kinds of facts about fish, how they're born, their habits, and their external anatomy. This is a nonfiction book, which means it's based off of facts. And it presents the facts about fish in an easygoing manner, which you will enjoy to read. I highly recommend it.
The aquarium's a great place to find out more about life underwater. And I'm glad I got a glimpse of what Lewis's new life might be like. But you know, even though Lewis preferred being a fish, I'm happy as a clam to be just who I am. See you next time.